It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is 1900 UTC, and it's May 31st. It's the end of May, and if it's the 31st, that means it must be Monday. So, hello, hello. welcome, Ratsu, welcome, welcome. Let's go ahead here and just peek back. Hey, SMJ, welcome, welcome. All right. And hello to those in AnonRadio at conference.jabber.sdf.org. I see you and say hello to you too. All right. Well, let's go ahead. The ways you can join and chat, there's a myriad of ways. There's a Jabber server, aka XMPP. You can also jump over to COM. That's the chat program, just C-O-M once you log in. And if you need an account for AnonRadio, if you're new, just jump on over to your SSH client or PuTTY if you're on Windows for some reason, and just SSH over as new at sdf.org, and you can follow the prompts. Boom. You are ready to go. So, let's go ahead here and we'll go ahead and get started the way we always start. Well, almost always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. So first up, let's talk about tigers. A Bangladesh has arrested, also over there in Matrix, if you want to jump over there. There's also news to me, or there's also chatting. I only know about Roof in general because I don't have a Matrix account set up quite right. But hey, I'm there too if you want to message me. All right. So first up, Bangladesh. What's going on? There's a tiger? Yeah, a man suspected of killing 70 endangered tigers has been arrested in Bangladesh after a 20-year search. Habib Talukder, known as Tiger Habib, was finally caught following a tip-off after three previous arrest warrants had been issued for him, police said. He's operated in Sundarbans mangrove forest on the border between India and Bangladesh. The area is home to the world's largest population of Bengal tigers. Only a few thousand remain in the wild. Yeah, 70 of them. Black market traders buy their pelts, bones, and even flesh for sale around the globe. He was on the run for a long time, Police Chief Saidur Rahman told the Dhaka Tribune. They have a photo of him, and he has a very epic beard, and looks... He's got a very imposing presence, even in the photo. The 50-year-old Habib Talukder started his career collecting honey from bees in the forest. Honey hunter Abdus Salam told AFP News Agency that the locals equally respect him and are scared of him. He's a dangerous man who could fight alone with tigers inside the forest. Officer Abdul Manan told the Dhaka Tribune that both the police and the forestry department had sought to arrest Habib Talukder for years. He secretly entered the Sundarbans and hunted wild animals, despite being banned from entering the forest long ago, he told the paper. He has been carrying out these criminal activities, even though there are multiple cases against him. Some powerful gangs are involved in this. The paper purports the suspect was detained on Saturday morning. Bangladesh tiger census data released in 2018 showed numbers in the Sundarbans had risen to 114 that year from a record low of 106 in 2015. And they include a map showing the Sundarbans area, and if you can picture the spot where India and Bangladesh meet, right there on the water, there are a bunch of little fingerlings, it's kind of like a delta. It looks kind of like what the Mississippi Delta looks like, where there's all those little fingerlings, and there's a mangrove forest down in there. So, wildlife charity WWF released data last year suggesting that after rapid declines over the past decades, endangered tiger populations were making a remarkable comeback around the world. So, that's pretty cool. I think it's cool. Oh yeah, and you can hear me typing. Sorry about that. I am easily distracted. Who knew? Me? Yeah, it's a surprise, I know. Anyone who's listened to this show for a little while knows that I am easily distracted.
That's correct.
All right, but that's okay. Let's keep on rolling. We're still up there. Let's talk about Kashmir. Kashmiri journalist Asif Sultan kept in jail for more than 1,000 days. This month, Asif Sultan, a journalist from Indian-administered Kashmir, completed 1,000 days in prison since his arrest in August 2018 under the Unlawful Activities Act, or UAPA, that's Uncle Alpha Papa Alpha, a stringent anti-terror law. Sultan, age 34, who worked as an assistant editor for Sringar-based English magazine, is accused of harboring known militants, an allegation he denies. He's also been charged with murder, attempt to murder, and other crimes. But Sultan's family and the editor of Kashmir Narrator, the magazine he worked for, deny the accusations, saying he was arrested for his journalistic work, particularly for a story titled The Rise of Burhan, which he wrote for his magazine in July 2018. In the 4,000-word story on the killing of Kashmiri rebel commander Burhan Wani in 2016 by Indian security forces, Sultan wrote why the 22-year-old rebel had proved to be more dangerous for India in his grave than in his living room. The Himalayan region of Kashmir is divided between India and Pakistan, who rule over portions of the Muslim-majority territory, but claim it in full. The two nuclear-armed nations have fought two of their three full-scale wars over the region. Meanwhile, an armed rebellion against Indian rule in Indian-administered Kashmir began in the early 1990s, with thousands of young Kashmiris joining the rebels, who either demanded an independent state or a merger with Pakistan. In his story, Sultan wrote that Wani's killing, more and more young boys are disappearing into the woods to follow Burhan's path. So, for his story, Sultan had managed to get exclusive photographs and details about Wani, including interviews with so-called overground workers, a term used in the restive region to describe non-combatant members of rebel groups who are usually given logistical tasks. Interestingly, one of them met him, Sultan, in a police station in southern Kashmir, and the interview was facilitated by a police officer. The OWG, or the that's going to be the overground workers, they're called OGWs, excuse me. Huh, this is funny. So they have a mistake in their letter, or in their article, I guess, because they call overground workers OGWs, but then later on in the story they call them OWGs. So, pretty wild. Oh, shout outs and hello, welcome to ML Smith and Benda.family. Hello, hello, welcome, one and all. I don't know why. It's like anytime I say welcome, I end up saying one and all. So that's just what happens. All right. So basically, he's in jail because he interviewed these people that are militants, and they're like, oh, you're one of them. Let's see, do we have any update or information additionally? In a first-hand account published in October last year, Fahad Shah, editor of the news website The Kashmir Wala, wrote that he, along with a colleague, was detained by police at gunpoint on a highway and treated like criminals during a four-hour-long interrogation. He told Al Jazeera that in the past 2 years, he's been summoned to police stations at least six times and has two cases filed against him after his website published stories that the state didn't like. It's more like a message to other journalists that if you do something like this, or if you go to an extent where the state doesn't like you, you can be booked in a case or two, and you will be thrown into jail like Asif, Shah told Al Jazeera. Reporting has been criminalized and censorship institutionalized in the region. Doesn't sound all too unlike a certain country that I may or may not be living in. So I've got a follow-up. Check this out.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
No, it's no problems. No secret codes. Life is good. That's a Dubious Goals reference, Benda. And oh my gosh, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe happens every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. So definitely stick around for that. If you're listening now, you might as well stick around. 1930 is only 20 minutes away, and it's tons of fun, for sure. All right, so this is a follow-up. Do you remember the Belgian ambassador's wife that slapped the shopkeeper? Maybe, maybe not. It was a diplomatic immunity call-out or story. Well, the Belgian ambassador loses South Korean posting after wife slaps worker. Belgium is ending the posting of its ambassador to South Korea after his wife assaulted a woman in Seoul. CCTV footage of the incident shows Peter Lesueur's wife, Sheng Shi-Kui, slapping a shop assistant in April. Staff had wanted to check the clothes she was leaving in were her own, amid concern she might be shoplifting. Mrs. Zhang later met the shop employee to apologize for unacceptable behavior, the Belgian Foreign Ministry said. But Foreign Minister Sophie Wilms decided to end Mr. Lesueur's posting this summer after 3 years in the role. While Mr. Lesueur had served his country with dedication, the current situation did not allow him to further carry out his role in a serene way. In April, Mr. Lesueur apologized for his wife's unacceptable behavior. Ms. Zhang initially invoked diplomatic immunity to avoid charges over the attack, but the Belgian government waived it so that she could be investigated by South Korean police, the embassy said. So, pretty wild, right? Hey, welcome, Stug, and howdy, Northern Lights. Welcome, welcome. All right. And let's keep it moving. Come on, you gotta keep moving. So, in more deja vu, Ryanair Dublin flight diverted due to security threat. A Ryanair flight traveling from the Republic of Ireland to Poland, diverted to Germany due to a potential security threat, the airline has confirmed. Flight FR1901, that's Foxtrot Romeo 1901, departed from Dublin just before 1700 local time on Sunday. During the flight, German air traffic control notified the crew of a potential security threat on board. A Ryanair spokesman told BBC News NI. The captain diverted to the nearest airport, Berlin, where passengers disembarked for security checks. Once cleared by German authorities, passengers traveled onwards to Krakow on a spare Ryanair aircraft after a delay on the ground of approximately 7 hours. Ryanair apologizes sincerely to all affected passengers for this unavoidable delay, which was outside the airline's control. The German newspaper Bild Zeitung reported the flight made an emergency landing at Berlin-Brandenburg Airport due to a bomb threat. Quoting an airport spokesman, the paper said all 160 passengers had to get out of the plane while German police searched for a suspicious item on board. Nothing was found during the operation. The diversion comes a week after another Ryanair flight from Greece to Lithuania was forced to land in Belarus under military escort. Belarus authorities said they received a bomb threat about the aircraft, but when the plane landed in Minsk, Belarusian dissident journalist Roman Protsevich and his girlfriend, Russian girlfriend Sofia Sapega, were both arrested. The European Union leaders issued a joint statement condemning the arrests. So, it is a mechanical keyboard, but it's not a fancy one. It is just some off-brand one I got. It's InPet brand. Gaming keyboard. It lights up, and I like the lights. So, it has like 4 different lights it can do. Welcome, Raleigh. Welcome, welcome. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, Sri Lanka is facing disaster as burning ship spills chemicals on beaches. Sri Lanka is facing the worst environmental disaster in its history after a cargo ship carrying chemicals caught fire off its coast, spilling microplastics across the country's pristine beaches and killing marine life. The fire on MV, that's Mike Victor, X, like the letter X, X-ray, Press Pearl. So I guess that's supposed to be MV Express Pearl, a Singapore-registered ship, broke out on 20th of May and has been burning ever since. The Sri Lankan Navy and Indian Coast Guard have been trying to reduce the flames for more than 10 days. This is the first I saw anything about it. Wow. The 25-person crew was evacuated, but the firefighting operation has been complicated by monsoon winds and the highly flammable and poisonous cargo. The ship was carrying 25 tons of nitric acid, sodium hydroxide, and other dangerous chemicals, as well as 28 containers of raw materials used to make plastic bags. That raw material, often they're little tiny, there's a proper name for it, but they're little plastic beads. They're little beads. I used to work at a plastics plant, and it was a lot of... Anyway, yeah, you could grab them, and they're inert, so we used to like grab them, and you could chew on them like gum and stuff. They're not good for you. Might be why I have such problems now. But those little beads are fun. The officials said the worst of the fire had been extinguished. Explosions continue to be heard and thick smoke. That's never a good sign. Oh, everything is fine. Explosions. It's feared the chemical spill has already caused untold damage to Sri Lanka's coastline, including the popular tourist resorts of Negombo and Kaluatara. Kalutara, with beaches thickly coated in microplastics and an oil slick visible in the surrounding ocean. The plastic pellets used to make plastic bags can be fatal to marine life and dead sea turtles. Fish and birds have already begun washing up on the beaches. So it's very terrible. It's terrifying. It's really awful stuff going on right now. I make light of it a little bit, but that's just because, wow, the news is just so heavy sometimes. You just gotta say, you know what, such is life, or death. The government's promised an investigation into the disaster, and a special police team's been assembled to question the captain and crew. And one last thing before we get into the...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the
music. Before we jump into the song, because this guy, you know, you hear it. You're just walking along
get
and then...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yep. All right. Well, on Saturday, massive demonstrations took place in all 28 Brazilian states across the government. A fascist president... And whenever I say that... great quote. On Saturday, massive demonstrations took place... What I wanted to say. This is coming from the World Socialist website, which is one of the sites that I get news from, but it is definitely got a pointed angle or perspective, because this is the International Committee of the Fourth International, a Trotskyist socialist website. So they have a particular take, but it's different than what I see on other sites, so I read it sometimes. Anyway, the total number of protesters nationwide may have exceeded 100,000, according to organizers' estimates. In Sao Paulo, the country's largest metropolis, the estimated number in the streets was over 80,000 people. In Porto Alegre, capital of Rio Grande do Sul, there were around 30,000. Thousands more also protested in Rio de Janeiro, Belo Horizonte, Curitiba, Brasilia, and smaller numbers in more than 100 other cities. Hey, Handy C, welcome. Lost my place. Let's keep going. In Recife, the demonstration was violently repressed by the military police under the command of Brazilian Socialist Party, PSB, Papa Sierra Bravo, Governor Paulo Camara in the state of Pernambuco. The police fired tear gas canisters and rubber bullets at the demonstration. Three people were wounded by shots, and two of them hit in the eye were partially blinded. These were the largest demonstrations in Brazil since 2019, when students and teachers marched nationally against the cuts in the education budget implemented by Bolsonaro in his first year in office. So this will be very interesting to see what happens here. There is an immense contradiction between the interests of the tens of thousands who have taken to the streets in Brazil, as well as the workers who are fighting in their workplaces and the corrupt leaderships that claim to represent them. So this will be very... we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a little scary for a while. All right. Well, you know what? That's all heavy, but you know what? We're going to go ahead and pull up some music for you. Oh, yeah. So, here we go. Oh, shucks. Some of my music is still messed up, so, you know, that happens. It's okay. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music. All right. Well, you know what? Like to hear it? Here it go.
Take it so bad. And- Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes! That is 100% correct. SDF does power non-radio, and a non-radio is powered by you, dear listeners. If you want to join and broadcast at any particular time, just go over to nonradio.net, check out the schedule, and find a spot that's open. There are still a few spots around that you can totally get in on. You can also jump in during open mic. There's a couple different spots for open mic. It's suggested you join Calm, the chat room. That way you can coordinate with other people who might also want to be broadcasting. Don't hog the mic, as they say. Alrighty. So let's go ahead here and get into a spot. I always love to be sure and cover African news. So let's go ahead and jump into that. And then we'll see if we can't finish out with some American domestic kind of news. Deserted streets as Nigeria remembers Biafra war victims. Tensions ran high on Sunday in southeastern Nigeria as the former separatist region commemorated the more than 1 million people who died in the Biafra War and famine of the late 1960s. The indigenous people of Biafra, or IPOB, the leading separatist group, is remembering war victims over 2 days with a candlelit march on Sunday evening and a strict order for people to remain indoors on Monday for their own safety. Every person in Biafra land is therefore advised to observe a sit-at-home order on Monday. IPOB spokeswoman Emma Powerful, Emma Powerful said in a statement, noting that markets and shops should close. "We strongly advise our people against flouting this order, as anyone found outside one's house that day may be the target of our enemies," she said, alluding to federal security forces. The streets of Owerri, the capital of Imo State, were already deserted on Sunday as residents stayed indoors a day after the killing of 2 Air Force personnel by unidentified gunmen. "Nobody is leaving their residence," said local resident Ajibade Awofeso, saying that Air Force staff had blocked roads and were shooting sporadically in protest at the killing of their colleagues. "The situation is serious here," he added. Mayeloponi Apeuyami, another resident, "We are living in fear and don't know what to do. What will come next?" On Sunday, 6 gunmen shot dead an influential politician, Ahmed Gulak, in Imo, local police said. Gulak, an advisor to former Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan, had been on his way to the airport when he was killed, police said in a statement. The leader of IPOB, Mazi Namandi Kanu, tweeted a photo of the deserted road, calling it a complete lockdown. Oh, and then the photo of the road, there are 2 goats in the street, which I think is pretty interesting. Anyway, the IPOB denies that its armed wing, the Eastern Security Network, bears any responsibility for the attacks. In May 1967, ethnic Igbo generals from a rebel province declared independence for the Republic of Biafra, sparking a bloody civil war and a terrible famine. Calls for independence have reemerged since the former general Muhammadu Buhari Ahaso from the north became president of Nigeria in 2015. And Chad is accusing the Central African Army of killing 6 of its soldiers. Chad's accused the Central African Army of killing 6 of its soldiers on Sunday, 5 of whom were abducted then executed, after an attack on a border outpost in Chadian territory. Ah. No Biafra coin. Interesting. Calm is always so much fun, and I wish I could keep up with it sometimes. But such is the life of doing the show live. What? That is right. It is 100% live. All right, let's go ahead and speed things up. We got about 5 minutes to go, and Tobe is ready to go. The West African Bloc ECOWAS, that's Echo Charlie Oscar Whiskey Alpha Sierra, is the Economic Community of West African States. We've talked about them before. Well, West African leaders decided at an extraordinary summit on Sunday to suspend Mali from the group after a second coup in 9 months by the poor Sahel country's military, but stopped short of reimposing sanctions. The push had sparked warnings of fresh sanctions and deep concerns over the stability of the volatile region. 10 regional heads of state and 3 foreign ministers attended the summit in the Ghanaian capital of Accra, with former Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan serving as a mediator in the crisis. The suspension from ECOWAS takes immediate effect until the deadline of the end of February 2022, when they are supposed to hand over to a democratically elected government. Ghana's Foreign Minister Shirley Ayokor Botchwey said after the meeting. The final declaration called for the immediate appointment of a new civilian prime minister and the formation of an inclusive government. Mali's new president, Colonel Assimi Goïta, had arrived in the Ghanaian capital Accra on Saturday for preliminary talks. So we'll see what happens there. Hey, XFCE, that's a fun little program. Ethiopia holds anti-US rally over Tigray. This is really interesting and something, if you're curious about world politics, this is definitely something to look into. More than 10,000 people in Ethiopia are taking part in an anti-US rally in the capital, Addis Ababa, denouncing President Joe Biden's policy on the conflict in the country's northern region of Tigray. Biden this week called for a ceasefire in the conflict, which is in its seventh month, and imposed restrictions on visas and economic assistance, but protesters say they are meddling. People also showed their support for Russia and China. I came out to oppose the idea of foreign countries trying to interfere in our domestic affairs and babysit us. We are a sovereign country, said demonstrator Ebera Tesfaye. As a sovereign country, our people and our government decide for our country. The rally and smaller ones elsewhere in Ethiopia was organized by the Ministry of Women, Children, and Youth under the banner Our Voice for Freedom and Sovereignty. Ministry officials had earlier predicted more than 1 million would attend nationwide, with 100,000 at Addis Ababa alone. No turnout figures were immediately available. So, what's going on here? Let's see if we have it spelled out for us briefly here. Not really. This doesn't go into it. I was reading another story that kind of went into it, but basically, China is the country that has bilateral lending with Ethiopia, so they have fair lending agreements, and also the they are aligned with, or and then Russia has been making lots of propaganda in Africa as France's influence has waned, and then Mali doesn't have Western support, so now they're getting support from Russia, and so that's all going around. So it's very interesting. All right, well, now time for lightning round, because we've got just a couple of seconds to go. 14 Nigerian students are freed from kidnappers in Kaduna State, and at least 50 have been killed in Ituri village attacks in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Pakistani journalist Mir taken off air after a military outburst. Prominent Pakistan journalist Hamid Mir has been taken off the air just days after he spoke out against the country's military at a protest against an attack on another journalist. And in Denmark, or in the EU, Denmark is accused of helping the U.S. spy on European officials, specifically German Chancellor Angela Merkel. That is really dramatic stuff there. Instagram's agreed to change its algorithm after an alleged bias has been determined. And Texas Democrats walked out of the chamber yesterday to prevent the voting restriction laws from going in place.
Boom. Well, that sounds mean.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening.
Sorry I ran over it.
Tomorrow and every weekday,
bye-bye.
Monday through Friday.
Stick around for the Dubious Goals.
With Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Seven.